not sure. I'm just looking around. I was here last week, had the privilege of being here last week with my family to be a part of Tom's commissioning, obviously with Taylor and the kids as well. So that was a real privilege for us. Today, Rach, Isabel, Eliana, Amaya, and Zariah, four girls, can't be with us, unfortunately, but you get the privilege of having me. So if you weren't here last week, you missed out on meeting my better halves, if you will. But today I would love to chat with you afterwards, if you will. As was mentioned, first one in the series on spiritual disciplines. Who knows what a spiritual discipline is? Just Phil. Okay. Only if you don't ask. Okay, well, this is the first of three, I believe. Looking at silence and solitude. Who has any idea of what silence and solitude is? A few nods. Some people are just talking about maybe going back to sleep, I think. But nonetheless, that's my favourite, silence and solitude. Don't get enough of it with four kids. Well, given that we're doing a new topic, when Tom asked me to speak on this, I thought, you know, the start of a series, maybe let's first explore a little bit about spiritual disciplines, why we even do them, what's the basis of it. And I know we don't have a lot of time to explore all of this, how we can do it, and then we'll touch in on silence and solitude specifically for today. And I'll just try and give you some resources for you to take away, more so than talking too much specifics about it. So we will get back to that verse, or verses, should I say, that Warren read out to us before. But first of all, let's just pray. Jesus, thank you that we can come here today. Thank you for those who are online, whether today or another day, watching. Thank you that we can celebrate you, that we can worship you, that we can gather with others. And as we explore not just today, looking at spiritual disciplines and unpacking that a little bit, specifically with silence and solitude, but over this series, may we not just hear this idea of spiritual disciplines, but may we be invited into a lifestyle, a way of living, of rhythms and habits that you demonstrated in your life, and that will enrich and conform us into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Amen again. Woo! Yes, this is good. I love it. So, spiritual disciplines. Have you ever wondered why we practice them? Have you ever wondered where they're from, why we do it? There's a lot written about it. Anyone done any readings on spiritual disciplines before, sometimes called spiritual practices? A few of you are nodding your heads, a few of you are a little bit unsure, that's okay. Well, the place that I like to start is always in the Bible and always goes way back, and you kind of flick your Bible and you go way back to the beginning. In Genesis 1 and 2. Anyone know what happens in Genesis 1 and 2? Anyone? The start. That's a good start. Creation, I heard someone say. Yes, a few nods. God walked with Adam and Eve. I've flicked through to chapter 9. That's a bit too far. But in the beginning was creation, right? Was God. He created all things and he said it was good or very good. He created the land, the sea, the world we live on today, the plants, the animals. And he created human in his image. And it was good, it was very good. This is what you would say was perfection. If you look around the world today and you see all the things that aren't quite right, well, that wasn't the case back then. It was perfection. Everything was as it should be. And then can someone tell me what happened? Well, he had already created humans. Chapter 3. He did rest. That's a Sabbath. You'll be looking at that in, I think, 2 weeks' time. On chapter 3, we see sin enter the world. And things are broken, aren't they? Things are broken. They're not anymore as they should be. If you're reading and you've got your Bibles, by all means, flick open to Genesis 3, verse 7. And we're not going to read it all, but just quickly. At that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called out, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." And the story goes on. We won't unpack it all. Relationships is what was broken. Four specific ones, if you unpack that little story there about the fall. We have our relationship with God was broken. They hid. And in a sense, we've been hiding ever since. And that relationship has been broken. Our relationship with ourselves, we felt shame, embarrassment. We hid ourselves from each other. Our relationship with others. And ultimately, as you continue to read through some of the curses and so on, our relationship with creation more broadly was also broken. Four key relationships that were there and were perfect were broken through the fall, through sin entering the world. Simply to put, the continual and practices and holistic practices of spiritual disciplines is a way in which God's grace can help restore these through the Holy Spirit. Restore our relationship with God. Restoring our relationship with ourselves helps us to restore relationship with others and with creation. As the Holy Spirit shapes us, molds us, and conforms us into the image of God, of Jesus. In other words, we practice spiritual disciplines so that through God's grace we may be restored. We practice them so that we may be restored in each of these broken relationships and become conformed into Jesus' image, into the image of Jesus, into the image of Christ. So like I said, we're going to go pretty quick and we're not going to delve in too much. If you want to read, I'll give you resources at the end that you can actually pick up some books. There's a whole lot of literature around this, more and more getting written all the time. But so how? If that's what's happened, that's a brokenness and it's about us trying to restore this. This is some practices, just some practices we're going to be exploring that has been done for millennia to help restore that. Then how? It's funny, when you think about it, that we're being conformed into Jesus' image. I think if you're a follower of Jesus, you would agree with that idea. And yet it's funny how often we read kind of what you might say the biographies of Jesus or the Gospels, more commonly known, and we look for something. We look maybe for illustrations or theological kind of gold mine. Perhaps we look for some symbolic or metaphorical type pick-me-ups or comments and stuff. And none of this is necessarily bad. But what we often don't see is just his rhythms and habits of his everyday life. We don't see just what's happening in between those stories because we're not looking for it. It's in these rhythms and habits of Jesus' life that we're going to pick up some of these spiritual disciplines. It's in these rhythms and habits that we pick up a lifestyle to be imitated to be lived like, Jesus says, to follow me, to live as I live, to walk as I walk, to become more like Christ, we hear. Some would argue that actually these spiritual disciplines, that's where they're from, is trying to imitate Jesus' everyday life and trying to live as he lived. Dallas Willard, some of you may have heard him as an author. He says, the disciplines are activities of mind and body purposefully undertaken to bring our personal and total being into effective cooperation with the divine order. They enable us more and more to live in a power that is strictly speaking beyond us, deriving from the spiritual realm itself. I mean, to me, that sounds a little bit like being shaped into the image of Jesus through these practices. John Mark Comer, another author and pastor over in the States, says this: Jesus never commands you to wake up in the morning and to have a quiet time, to read your Bible. He never commands you to live in community, practice the Sabbath, or give your money to the poor, or any of the core practices from his way. He just does these practices and then says, follow me. Interesting. Never commands us, I like this one, to actually do these things, and yet we would kind of go around and say, this is what you should be doing. These are the practices that we should be living out. Why? Because Jesus demonstrates these things. And if we're to be more like Christ, then it is to live the rhythms and the habits of his lifestyle. And we call them spiritual disciplines. Some people like spiritual practices. I don't mind the word discipline because I find it hard sometimes to reorientate my life to actually do it. And so I see it as a discipline. I need to try and do this. Whatever word floats your boat doesn't really matter. So I'm going to highlight a few things. But today we're going to just highlight one thing before we move on, in terms of the how, because I think it's really important in today's world, more so than has been previously. Some call it now a spiritual discipline. It's a bit more popular in those ways. But it's called slowing, the practice of slowing. So we're just going to divert away, if you don't mind, for a moment. Who knows the word boredom? Yeah, boredom. Okay, if you're kind of old enough, you may have actually experienced boredom more broadly. Thanks, Phil, for that hand straight up. Some of us younger ones maybe kind of, I mean, my children say they're bored after like that, right? They get their Christmas presents and then that afternoon they're bored. So it's very different, I would suggest. That's not the boredom that I'm talking about. But, you know, interestingly, Microsoft found... a survey and found that 77% of young adults answered yes when asked, when nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone. It's the new normal, right? It's that hurried busyness of digital technology. This digital distraction, the ability to be present with God, to be present with others, the ability to be present with ourselves. The ability to be present in creation around us gets taken. Can we just pick up our phone? And that's just one example. The majority of us do that. Before Edison invented the light bulb, we used to have a lot more sleep. We used to work a lot less. In fact, just over these last 100 years, we've already had 2.5 hours less sleep than what we used to 100 years ago. If you go back to Jesus' time, they would say that some authors would write it as much as 14 hours sleep that they would be getting. We work more than what we ever have before. Where once, the Harvard Business Review says, where once leisure was a sign of wealth, they now say that busyness is a sign of wealth. You can kind of go through, our attention span has decreased. It's now down from like about 12 seconds, it's now down to about 8 seconds, less than a goldfish, which is not promising for us. They call it the digital revolution. That's kind of hit us, and you can kind of map that, but kind of from about the early 2000s, it's just gone astronomical in regard to what we can do and what we've been exposed to. The information overload is incredible. We consume more information in a day than what people in Jesus' time possibly would have done in their entire life. Anxiety is kind of through the roof. We know that. This is a study that's, infographic from, 2022. Not going to go through that, but simply to say that in every one of those areas, that's a study from 16 to 64-year-olds on average in Australia. In every one of those areas, except for time spent on the internet, which is already 6 hours, may I add. In every one of those areas, it's increasing year on year of how much time we spend on there. That's average. All of that's kind of media, except for, time spent reading press media. That includes online and physical, in the top right-hand corner. And that adds up to, if one person actually did all that, that's like you're getting about 6 hours sleep, if that. But that's the average for a 16 to 64-year-old. We are living a quick, fast, rushed, hurried life. And here's the result. At this pace, at this speed, as we're hurrying through life, it's incompatible with practical spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines. It's not. I mean, if we think about the fruit of the Spirit, who knows the fruit of the Spirit? I think Tom mentioned it last week. Here's a test. Pardon, sorry, joy, love, I heard someone say. Peace, okay, yep. Yeah, okay, we know it, right? How many of that can be done when we're rushing through life? How do we demonstrate that as we're rushing through life? Think about that. The peace. Are we operating with peace? Love? When I'm rushed in the morning driving somewhere, I find it very hard to operate in those ways. If I live a life that's rushing through, it's going to be even harder. I mean, if we look at Jesus' life as an example, especially through the book of Luke, you can kind of track two things. The busier he gets, the more he escapes to silence and solitude, to spaces of prayer. The busier he gets, the more he withdraws. That's a practice that he does. And you can track it through there. So I don't want you just to see these as some good ideas. I want you to see these as life-giving practices as you look at them, not just today, but these coming weeks. The way of Jesus. The lifestyle that he lived. That he demonstrated for us. It's countercultural. It's different to the world around us, but it's life-giving and gives the space for the Holy Spirit to conform us into his image for the sake of others. So, we're just going to pause now. Anyone remember what I was meant to be talking about today? Silence and solitude. Silence and solitude, yeah. And I wanted to just give us this kind of ramp up to this point. Because unless we understand why we would even bother doing spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines, unless we understand the reality of today and that things, if we don't implement change into our everyday life, that we're going to always find barriers for it. More so than probably any other time in history. Then we kind of get to this point of talking about the spiritual disciplines. and they're going to fall on deaf ears. We're not going to hear them. We're not going to be practicing them. We might try for a week, and then we go, well, that was a good effort. It was nice, but then we don't actually implement that rhythm or habit into our life. And if we are to be conformed into the image of Jesus, then something needs to change. So, to get us started, we are going to practice 1 minute of silence. There we are. We're going to sit here and practice 1 minute of silence. And I want you to take note of a few things while we practice it. I want you to think about what has helped or what helps. What hinders? What are possible distractions? We're just going to take a minute now to do that. Okay, how was that? Long? Useful? Pardon? Peaceful. Yeah, maybe I should talk less. Yeah, was it awkward for anyone? Because sometimes it can be really awkward. Was it hard? Who found it hard to stay present in that moment? A few? Okay. What were some of the things that you did? I looked around and saw almost everyone straight away close their eyes. Anything else that people did? Pardon? You prayed. There you go. Anything else? Everyone's a bit shy to say anything. You listened? Yeah.
Focused.
On something. Yep. As I said, a lot of you close your eyes. Sometimes, I couldn't believe how good the kids were. I was expecting them to be quite noisy. And so I was going to bounce off that and say, well, sometimes we need to find a quiet place. But this ended up being quiet. So that didn't quite work as well as I had thought. But anyway, as you come out of this quiet place, how do you feel? I think someone said peaceful before.
Challenged.
Okay. Challenged. As you came out, did you notice any difference around your maybe attitude or thought process or how you kind of would engage again with something? Maybe more rhetorical. We did that for 1 minute, right? 1 minute. As I mentioned earlier, I've got four daughters, and so you can imagine what it's like in the morning. Now, I don't know if you know me well enough, but I'm not a morning person. In my mind, I'm moving really fast, and Rach thinks I move more like a sloth. So when you've got four daughters, trying to get them ready and yourself ready and everyone else ready, not that I'm trying to do that per se, but you know, trying to get everyone in the house ready for school, drop off and work and so on, moving at the pace of a sloth isn't great. But regardless of that, what I do know is that if I get woken up and I'm not ready, my engagement with my kids and my family and the relationships around me is very different to if I have time to get up and be ready, maybe before they even get up. Then all of a sudden I engage in the same people, the same situations, but with intentionality and love in a different way. That's the same when I come home from work. So what we're going to do is very quickly jump into our passage today, Mark. I'm looking at it from the NLT version. If you have your Bibles, by all means, flick to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, second book in the New Testament. Now, even though it's at the start of Mark, it's actually kind of well into Jesus' ministry, past halfway, about halfway through this at this point in time. And let's just read this again together. And I want you to think about the experience that you've just had. The context of this is that Jesus has just gone to the synagogue, done a healing, goes to Peter's mother-in-law's place, heals her, and then it's like a mass healing service breaks out. Everyone from all the community comes, brings their people. All these people are getting healed. It's going nuts into the night until everyone has to go home. Okay, that's what's just happened. We have sleep time. Go to sleep, people rest. And we pick it up. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Anyone notice something? Yeah, it's like, but he gets up before daybreak, before anyone else is awake, and he goes away to a place of silence and solitude. And then later, Simon and the others, we can assume who they are, but went out to find him. So then everyone else kind of gets up. They go out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you." Let's just pause there for a moment. Let's picture this. You have like this mass healing service or something happens like by work of the Holy Spirit in this building here. Okay? You got people all from Ringwood coming here, getting healed. Things are going a bit crazy. You're kind of like, oh my gosh, this is incredible and a bit scary and all that, right? Nighttime happens, people go to bed. The next day, obviously, word's going to have spread, right? I mean, these towns, word spreads quickly. The buildings are close together. Word spreads. So everyone's coming back trying to find where Jesus is. What? If it was here, what would you think you'd be doing? I mean, my immediate thought is, your beauty. Let's get another kind of service going, right? Let's harness this momentum in this place. Let's see the Holy Spirit move again through all of these people. Jesus goes to a place of silence and solitude, prays to the Father, has space in that place to withdraw. And then he says this, "We must go to other towns as well, and I'll preach to them there as well. That is why I came." So he traveled. It's like, that's great, guys, but pack your bags, we're going to head off. That's kind of what it is, right? In my mind, as I look at that, it kind of doesn't equate to what I would do. It seems different. And the difference is that he's gone to a space of silence and solitude and prayed and spent time and heard from the Spirit and said, we need to go elsewhere. Do you see how almost the busyness and success of what was happening drew Jesus to that silence and solitude, that space of withdrawing? He needed that. He craved that space. He could have stayed in bed and slept. I'm sure he was tired. Although maybe with 14 hours sleep, you're less tired. I don't know. But he craved to get away to that space, to align. And do you see how his response was different to what perhaps one would expect because of that space and being with the Father? That's our invitation. It's not to some random habits or some random things that we say, hey, practice this, this will be good for you, it will be helpful. It's an invitation to practice the way that Jesus lived, that he demonstrates to us, that if you read the Gospels with a lens of saying, what lifestyle is he living between these stories? You pick up all of these spiritual practices. That's what you'll see. And today our focus, as I said, is on silence and solitude. Silence is both the external noise that we hear, but it's also the internal noise that you hear. It's easy to turn off the external noise, turn your phone off, go to a quiet place, maybe close your eyes. It's a lot harder to turn off the internal noise. To focus. Some people practice breathing and they might do big, you know, three deep breaths to do that. I find three deep breaths just make me think more, and I'm trying to count the breaths, and so I actually find that it takes me about 10 minutes to just slow the chatter and the noise in my head, to actually feel like I can just stop and be silent. Everyone's going to be different in this way. But silence is turning off both the internal and external noise that's happening. Solitude is kind of the idea of being alone with God and with yourself. It's nowhere to hide. It's just not escaping or isolation. That's kind of the negative connotation of solitude. It's actually engaging in a space and saying, I'm going to be here with who I am and with the Father. I'm not hiding. I'm not going to be, you know, like we see in the garden. I'm going to be here and engaged. In silence, we let go of our manipulative control. In solitude, we face up to what we are in the depths of our being. And it draws us to a place of praying. It draws us to a place of worship. It draws us to a place like Romans 12:1, for those who know, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. So as we kind of wrap up today, here is what I want you to commit to. And it's an invitation, whether you're a follower of Jesus, whether you're not a follower of Jesus. It's an invitation to something different, to a different way of life, an invitation to try and start a rhythm or a habit in your life that is demonstrated through Jesus' life. Depending on your personality, depending on your circumstances, I've got I'm one of six now in my house. I've got four girls. Sleep is like premium. If you can get that, you're kind of banking it as much as you can. I was talking to Rach the other day saying, we were talking about how we really wish you could kind of grab the sleep that you had when I was like a teenager or a young adult and kind of chuck it to now. That would be lovely. Anyway, depending on all of those things and where you're at with your journey of Jesus, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, will impact this. But here's the invitation. To find a place of silence, turn things off, turn your phone off, try and silence the internal noise, to find a place of solitude. Maybe it's a walk in the morning, maybe it's just a space in your house, maybe it's kind of just before you go into work, but I'm inviting you to 10 minutes, just 10 minutes. To be with God. Now, some people will build that up. I know some people who kind of go with the idea of 1 hour a week, one day a month, and 1 week a year of doing this. But I'm inviting you just to 10 minutes. Why don't we just start? If you've already been practicing silence and solitude, great. Continue that. But if you haven't, let's just start with 10 minutes to be with God. And I said I'd give you some resources in terms of some ideas of what you could do, because there's plenty of things out there, heaps of stuff that you can do. Heaps of resources out there. All of this stuff, apart from the books, obviously you have to buy the books, but everything else there is free. That's why I kind of point people to these sorts of things. The book on the top one is from John Mark Comer. It's called The Relentless Elimination of Hurry. The other one is Richard Foster. Some of you may already have that, some of you don't. But it's a celebration of discipline. Again, there's tons of books. If you want a different one, just let me know and I can point you in a number of directions. In terms of apps, these are three that I've used that I find helpful, and they're all free. If they're free, they're for me, right? So Lectio 365, that is about 10 minutes. You can have it, play it, and it will read it to you. It kind of meditates on scripture in that time as well. It takes about 10 minutes, and there's prayer, led by prayer and so on. The 1 minute pause app, that's got a range of time frames, but again, it's kind of that meditation pausing throughout the day. Some people use that if they just find themselves, they can't, even 10 minutes seems unattainable. They just go, well, let's just start with, you know, 3 minutes, and we try and do it three times throughout the day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner or something. And they just start, and they might use that just to guide them through it. The Examine, or Reimagine the Examine, that's another app, and there's a whole lot of just meditating kind of prayer or just thoughtful times that you can look at and explore if you want. Again, they're just a resource. There's plenty of others out there. Practicing the Way, that's a website that actually has kind of studies on different spiritual disciplines. And the 24/7 prayer has a whole lot of resources on it as well. Just a couple of resources to get you started if you don't know and you're not sure where to start. If you already do, then that's also fine. But the invitation, again, as I said, was to 10 minutes a day. Just 10 minutes a day. Find that space, that silence, that solitude to be with God. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this invitation to each one of us to a space to be with you. That we may be with the Father in that place and experience the Father's love. That Holy Spirit, that you may continue to conform us into the image of Jesus in those spaces and in other spaces. But Jesus, we see that today we live in a world of hurry, in a world of rush, in a world of busyness. So would you give us the courage to step back and to press in to you, to create space and time and just to slow down so that we may practice the rhythms and habits that you lived out here on earth, Jesus, so that we may be conformed into your image. For the sake of others. In Jesus' name, amen.